He gave him a very simple instruction. He said, only believe. It takes faith to believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. It's not exclusive to one person or two persons, but God wants His people to hear from Him. And He wants to develop an intimacy with you. An intimacy. God wants to develop an intimacy with you. It's the relationship with Him is just as real as the person sitting next to you. He can be just as real as the person sitting next to you. Right? And it takes faith to believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, right? It takes faith. So, we're going to go over just a couple more things I'm going to add on from last week. So, I'm going to go over some of the slides that we had from last time. And as I sought the Lord last week, and I heard it again this morning, I want my people to be successful. I want my people to be successful. And that's just not my heart speaking. That's God's heart speaking. Because as I spend time with the Lord, I hear what His heart is. As I spent time with the Lord this morning, He told me some things this morning. He said, well, actually it started yesterday, and then this morning He said, it's time. It's time now to grow out and expand. To grow out and expand. Expand your church. Expand the outreach of your church. And you know, we've done one of the goals in 2009. I'll say this briefly. I don't have the exact numbers. But I was looking back at how much we gave as a church. And it was, I think, 30 or 40% of our overall budget was what we give in tithes and offerings to other ministries. It's not just 10%. So we've been very blessed here to see how much we actually can give. And it wound up, I believe it's wound up to almost over $10,000 just in giving to other ministries this year alone. So it takes faith, right? So we're going to pull up our tent stakes. So get ready to pull up your tent stakes. I'm going to show you how to pull up your tent stakes and start expanding the kingdom. You know what? Because God has got something, I believe, in here for each one of us. He's got a ministry. He's calling us to different things, to do different things for the kingdom of God. And if you sit there and think, well, you know what? God is so far off, and, you know, I really don't know Him that well, and, you know, but you know what? God wants to know you to get you to a place where He can expand and start working in your life and expanding more and more. Amen? So, how many know the voice of the Master? How many know the voice of the Master where you can say, I know my Master's voice. I can hear the voice of my Master and I hear Him speak to me. When you say that to people, sometimes it kind of freaks them out. You actually hear from God? Well, you better believe it. I do hear from God. I hear Him speak to me. I hear Him talk to me. And He talks to me even when I sleep. And He wants an intimate, close relationship. He wouldn't have said this in His Word if it weren't possible, right? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So one of the keys to success is hearing. And another thing is having the faith to hear. Having the faith to hear. We shouldn't make any mistakes, should we, if we hear God's voice? There shouldn't be any mistakes. It should be mistake-free. Now, here's the three witnesses I gave last week that God wants you to be successful. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. Speak, do. I hear it from the Father, and I do it. Revelation knowledge, you can't walk by sense knowledge. You got to walk by revelation knowledge. The only way to get revelation knowledge is to spend time in God's presence. Here is the, this was my second or third. Psalm 1:1, it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There it is again. The word, the fellowship with the Father. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. What does that include? Everything, right? Relationships, everything. Your finances, everything, right? Everything. Say everything. Everything. God wants me to prosper in everything. Amen. And here's the third witness. John 15:7. I could have got more than just three, but I picked these out. I sense the Holy Spirit gave me these three, so here's the three. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, what's abiding in you? God's word. And then as a result of that, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be what? Done unto you. And then herein is my Father glorified. When you get an answer to that prayer, this is how God is glorified. That you bear much fruit. So he's saying, I want you to have what? Some of your prayers answered? All of your prayers answered. When you call, I will answer you. Not next week, not next month, not next year. When you call, I will answer. But it takes faith to hear and to believe that, right? Now, your faith must be activated. Let's work on activating our faith. Everyone's been given a measure of faith. Activate our faith. How do I activate my faith? And then this is what we said in Philemon 1:6. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. When you start acknowledging every good thing in you in Christ Jesus, what does the word say? Your faith becomes what? Effective. It becomes powerful. It becomes alive. So it starts with the releasing and in agreement with God's word. It starts with agreeing with God's word and releasing that, saying that with our mouths. And we're getting our faith. Remember what I said, it takes faith to hear from the Holy Spirit. We're getting our faith activated, alive. How many know that your faith grows? The Bible says that our faith grows. I just didn't start believing for certain things way up here. It took me down here, and I started believing for the small things. And then as my faith grew, I started believing for the bigger things. Now, here's the importance of our confession. And I'm going to add to this. We're going back. I'm just going to review what I did last time, and then I'm going to add to this. The importance of our confession. We have a high priest. And there was a purpose for the high priest in the Old Testament, and that purpose was to offer up the sacrifices for the people. That was one of the purposes of the high priest, was the people would go to him, and he would offer up a sacrifice for them. Okay? Now look at what it says in the Word. Our confession in relation to Jesus as our high priest is mentioned three times in the book of Hebrews. Our confession is mentioned elsewhere in the Word of God, but here specifically in the book of Hebrews, it's mentioned three times. Hebrews 3:1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. That word profession means confession. So he's the high priest. Say, Jesus is the high priest of my confession. When you get a revelation of that, you will start watching what you say. You will be careful about what you say because we have a high priest waiting. At this very moment, he is waiting for something for us to offer up to him. And I'm going to get into this here in just a little bit. He's waiting for us to say something in agreement with God's word. Now, here in Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. In fact, I believe this is a prerequisite. If you go back and you look in the Bible in Hebrews 15 and 16, it talks about let us come boldly before the throne of grace. In fact, I believe this is a prerequisite in order to come boldly before the throne of grace. It's a precursor before you go to God, is understanding that we have a high priest and that we have a mediator. Hebrews 10:21, it says, and having a high priest over the house of God. He's the high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. There it is again. We have to have faith. We have a high priest, but we have to come how? With faith, right? Having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. Notice what it says here. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Because what does James say? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We're not to waver when we go because we believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, right? Now, here is where I'm going to add to what I talked about last time. It's in Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Who's he talking about there? Jesus. Okay? Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So what's Jesus doing? He's what? He's making intercession for who? For us, right? He's making intercession for you. He's making intercession for every believer, right? That's what he's doing. And this is his ministry that he has after he ascended, right? This is his ministry. This is the present day ministry of Jesus Christ right here. Let me say that again. This is the present day ministry of Jesus Christ. Right here. He's making intercession for who? Every born-again believer. But the only way he can make intercession for you is how? What is the only way that he can make intercession for you? If you say the right things. If you come into agreement with his word. Let me go on here. Now look. It says here. Hebrews 8:1, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. So he's summing it all up in Hebrews chapter 8. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. So where's Jesus at? He's in the sanctuary, right? He's at the right hand of the Father in the sanctuary. He's the high priest of that sanctuary. Now look, he's a minister, in verse 2 it says he's a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. So it's saying he is needing something to offer in that sanctuary. Right? Jesus needs something to offer in that sanctuary. Now, if you're looking for a job, and if you're looking for different things, I'm going to tell you, this is where your prayers are answered, and this is where the effectiveness of your faith comes in, is right here. It's with your high priest. Look here. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. What kind of gifts and sacrifices does he need to offer? He already offered up himself. I'm not talking about him offering up himself. He is the high priest of the sanctuary because it said in chapter 7, that's what he lives for. He lives to make intercession. And the Bible also said that he's a mediator. He's a mediator between God and man. So he's acting as the mediator between me and the Father. And he's the high priest. Now, what is it that he offers? Here's what he offers. Your agreement with God's word, not your disagreement. He offers your agreement with God's word, not your disagreement. So what's disagreement with God's word? Every idle word that we speak, Matthew chapter 12, I believe. What am I going to do? What am I going to wear? How am I going to do this? I don't know what to do. Those are examples of idle words. Now, he offers your agreement with God's word. Now look at what it says here in Revelation 8:1. It says this. It says, "And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." So who's the minister of that sanctuary? Jesus, right? And he's offering up the prayers, the agreement with God's word. He's offering up the prayers which are in agreement with his word, right? And then the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So, as high priest, as Jesus is the high priest, he has something to offer. So what's he going to offer? My doubt and unbelief? No. He's going to offer my agreement with his word. Right? He's going to offer my agreement with his word. Now, I told you that faith has a voice, and we said faith has a voice. In order to get our faith to work, the very first thing we have to do is start coming into agreement with God's word and start speaking that out with our mouth. So our high priest has something. Now look at this. This is something that the Lord has spoke to me all week about, and well, not all week, actually since Thursday night, because this was the couple of the verses that I picked up from the men's Bible study that Brother Creflo Dollar talked about. And he didn't, and when I read this, and I thought, here's what's happening. Here's where you can see what's happening. The Bible says, let us examine ourselves whether we're in faith or not. The reason why a lot of God's people, I don't think, will speak his word is because they trust in other things more than they trust in God's word. The reason why people don't speak God's word more is because they trust in other things instead of God's word. Okay? Now look at this. This is very interesting. I talked about this before. It's been some time ago, but the Lord just really quickened me to this, and I wanted to talk about it again today. In Luke 18:9, it says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves." Notice what they do here. They trust in what? In themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. So they had a idea in their mind, or a thought in their mind, that they were righteous based on what? Based on their own merits, based on their works, right? Based on their merits, based on their own works, they thought they was righteous, right? Okay. So, in verse 18 it says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." And remember what I taught before, this guy's praying by himself. He has no audience with the Father. He's praying by himself, because it says right here he prayed with himself. Now, I don't like praying by myself and not having an audience with my Father. But this guy was praying by himself, and he said this, "I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." Here is something that the Holy Spirit showed me where it concerns faith. If we have to have faith to hear the Holy Spirit, we have to have faith in other areas of our life in order to function the way God wants us to function, right? In order to get answers to our prayers, we have to have faith in every area, no matter what it is. Now look at what this happened here. They had faith in themselves. And here's what happens when you... this one example here, they had faith in their own righteousness. And look at what happened. Right here in verse 11, these people, these Pharisees, were critical and they were judgmental. Let me say it again. They were critical and they were judgmental because they had their faith in themselves, in their own righteousness. Right? Now, if you have faith in something else, let's say you're believing God for something, or let's say, I shouldn't say it like that, you're wanting something to happen. whether it's a job or whether it's your family to come to know the Lord or whatever. These guys here were trying to force the issue. When you take your faith out of God and you start putting it into something else, into your own ability, it starts forcing the issue and the prayer doesn't get answered. Because you can look right here in this last verse. It said here in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Which one got their prayer answered? The one that put their faith in God and didn't try to do and try to earn their own thing on themselves. Right? Now, this is a good example here where if there is no love for the lost or there is no love for God's people, here's a great acid test. I call this the acid test of whether or not, if you know whether or not you are walking in love toward others, is this right here. That right there tells you that if I am critical or judgmental of others, I know for sure this, that I'm trusting in my own righteousness. Do you see that? Now, whether or not I'm trusting in my own righteousness or other things, those things will manifest in a way that is not going to be conducive for the kingdom of God. You will not get your prayers answered. Does everyone see that? Do y'all see that? If I start trusting in my own ability, if I start doing things my way, I am not going to get what I'm desiring from the Lord. Now, this seems to be a common problem, and I'm going to keep going over this and over this until we get it. I told you the story, and our faith, and I want to keep on this idea, our faith is activated by what we speak. It takes faith to hear the Holy Spirit. But here's what happens instead, especially when we start praying for our families, and we want our families to see God move in them. I had a neighbor, and I told you this. He would come over almost every day, and this was during the warm winter or warm summer months. Have the garage door open, he'd come over, and he goes, "Mitch, I want to pray for my wife. She's not saved." Well, I said, "Well, what have you been doing?" "Well, I've been leaving the Bible open in certain places for her to read it. And I've been turning up the stereo real loud for her to hear it, so she could hear the Christian music. Let me give you a little bit of advice. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop right there. Whether it's you're praying for your relatives or you're trying to believe God for something else, you can't force the issue. You can't force the issue. It takes faith. It takes trust in God. God, I trust you in all things. God, I trust you with my hard drive on my computer. God, I don't know how it's going to come about, but I know I trust you, God." Because when we start forcing the issue, we're not really hearing from the Holy Spirit. We're hearing from our own selves because we trust in our own selves. And I'll tell you, the way to get sensitive to the Holy Spirit is to quit trusting in what you know or what you think you know and start trusting in the Word of God and looking to see what He says. And start listening to the voice of the Spirit. If the voice of the Spirit tells you to open it up, then by all means, open it up. But I'm going to tell you, it's not going to work if you're forcing the issue. Now, he come to me and I told him, "You need to stop this. You are not the Holy Spirit. You're not Holy Spirit Junior." I said, "God wants her saved, and you want her saved, and we all want her saved. We want her to see and to come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ." It wasn't but a couple weeks after that she got saved. So here, they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. We can trust in things, in other things, other than God, and it will totally dull our hearing the Holy Spirit. It will dull it. It's like putting earplugs in your ears. The Bible says to examine ourselves whether we're in faith or not. The first step to hearing the Holy Spirit is I got to have faith to hear Him. And I got to have faith in God's Word and in not my own ability. Now, once you start this, once you start working to develop your human spirit that's born again, you can hear God very clearly. You'll hear His voice. as you're driving down the road, and when he tells you don't go that way or don't go this way, you'll hear him tell you, I want you to go over here to get your fertilizer instead of going over there. It's an intimacy that you develop, and that intimacy is developed by trusting in God. Trusting in God, the intimacy is developed by trusting in Him. And I know there's times where I have taken and I've tried to do things on my own, and I'm going to tell you what, I struggled with it. I absolutely struggled with it. There's areas in my life that are more developed than other areas that I've spent time with, more time than others. I've spent more time in knowing healing. I've spent more time in knowing finance and how to receive from God. So when it develops in us, the Bible calls it the peaceable fruit of righteousness also. Okay. Which one got their prayer answered? The one that trusted God. Remember what I said some time ago about pride and humility? It said this guy here, let's see, it said, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up as much as eyes into heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. He was humbled before the Lord. Humility is reality, pride is deception, right? Humility is reality, pride is deception. Okay. Just remember this next time. Are you praying with yourself, or do you have an audience with the Father? Every time I read that, I want to laugh. Why would you want to pray by yourself and not get anything? I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous, but I mean, unconsciously, I think there's at times I've done that. Prayed by myself because I've trusted in other things. It's like, stop that. Stop that. So, Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Amen? He's waiting for us to say something in agreement with His Word. We got to open up our mouth. Because remember what it said in Romans 10, 9 and 10? That if we'll believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we'll be saved. So the mouth and the heart are tied together. The Bible teaches that our mouth and our heart are tied together. I can listen. I can listen to what I say. Or I can listen to what others say, and I can hear what's in the heart. This is the belief system. You can hear the belief system through the mouth. Right? So did you learn anything? So we're going to what? We're going to start speaking in agreement with God's Word. Right? Amen. Speaking in agreement with God's Word.